If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Welcome to CBS Mornings on this April Fool's Day. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I am Vladimir Dutier. Yes.
All right, we are going to begin, though, with a rare and historic move to tackle the rising cost of gas in this country as the war in Ukraine drags on. President Biden is draining nearly a third of America's strategic oil reserve. This is the largest release ever. America will sell that oil on the open market, hoping to bring overall gas prices down in the process. Energy costs are a big reason, of course, for this year's soaring inflation, highest inflation in 40 years. AAA is saying that the average price per gallon is now $4.22. That is up nearly 50% than a year ago, more than a dollar in most cases. Errol Barnett is in Bethesda, Maryland, with more on the president's big decision. Errol, a lot of people wondering, is this going to make a difference and when? How soon? Good morning.
Hey there, Tony. Good morning. Well, already U.S. and international oil prices have moved slightly lower following President Biden's major energy announcement, which is a small but positive sign. That announcement including the sizable release from the strategic reserve to get through what will be a fuel-intensive summer. But here's the point. Drivers will still need to brace themselves because there's no guarantee that your gas tank will get dramatically cheaper.
If we want lower gas prices, we need to have more oil supply right now.
President Biden Thursday announced an unprecedented effort to ease the pain at the pumps, placing the blame for recent hikes squarely on Russia's war in Ukraine.
Our prices are rising because of Putin's action. There isn't enough supply.
The plan includes releasing 1 million barrels of oil every day through October from the nation's strategic petroleum reserve.
It'll have some impact, but perhaps not the impact that people suspect.
Oil analyst Tom Closer said while drivers will see a modest dip in prices, they aren't plunging anytime soon.
And how long do you think it will take between this announcement and Americans seeing the result at the pump?
I think we get a little bit of relief here in April and May, but from Memorial Day to Labor Day, unfortunately, we see very lumpy demand, and we'll see it lumpy on the high side.
Meanwhile, today, Connecticut becomes the latest state to try and soften the blow of higher prices by suspending gas taxes. Already, drivers in Georgia and Maryland are enjoying that relief.
I'm glad it's going down a little bit now.
Seems to be making an improvement.
But Patrick DeHaan of the fuel data website GasBuddy says the so-called tax holidays could actually drive up prices in the long run.
Sheltering Americans from the consequences of high price could induce more gasoline consumption, could cause gas prices to go up more dramatically.
Which could mean more traveling adjustments like this.
I used to go where I wanted to go, now I go where I have to go.
It's true for so many people. Now, just yesterday, Chicago became the latest city to offer these free prepaid gas and transit cards to help address these soaring prices. That's one other solution. But all of the energy analysts we've spoken with explain that the global energy supply is so vast, so complicated, with so many factors that it could take a number of weeks before we start to see any modest decrease in prices here. Vlad?
All right, Errol, thank you very much. Appreciate it. In the war on Ukraine, a possible raid on a Russian oil depot is making headlines this morning. A Russian official claims two Ukrainian helicopters attacked the facility some 20 miles across the border. This comes as Russian forces continue to bombard Ukrainian cities, killing thousands of civilians. In Mariupol yesterday, they blocked food and medical supplies from getting in, and refugees from getting out. Holly Williams is in central Ukraine this morning. Holly, good morning.
Good morning. We've just shown you that video that purports to show a Ukrainian attack on a Russian oil depot. And if true, it's significant. But at this point, there's no independent confirmation.
In the farming village of Mala Shesternya, as in most of Ukraine,
they were set up to stay here.
The Russian soldiers were unwelcome visitors.
So this is where they slept.
The residents have fled, but Colonel Serhii Ramashko told us his men recaptured Mala Shesternya 5 days ago, killing some Russians and capturing others.
Russian boots.
Their clothes and shoes are still here, even their cooking pots. Colonel Ramashko told us the Russians were used as cannon fodder, so short of food they looted from the locals. The Russians have war machines Ukraine can only dream of, but the Ukrainian soldiers are destroying them, including two armoured personnel carriers on this stretch of road. The colonel told us three Russians miraculously escaped from this one.
Well, they were lucky to survive this.
And are now being treated in a Ukrainian hospital. We'll defeat them, he said. I feel victorious. In the town of Irpin, just north of Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, Ukraine's resistance has also driven back the Russians. But this is the cost, a line of body bags, slaughtered in what Vladimir Putin calls his special military operation. In Mala Shesternya, the Russians have also left behind deadly weapons, a field carpeted with anti-tank mines and an RPG warhead in the front yard of this home.
So this is a Russian rocket?
Russian rocket, да. Это у нас остатки.
These families, the colonel told us, were fleeing another village even closer to the front line. Vladimir Putin has sent his soldiers to invade a country that only wants to be free. And his war is killing both Ukrainians and Russians.
Russian troops who were occupying the Chernobyl nuclear site have now withdrawn, according to Ukrainian officials. And they claim the Russian soldiers received significant doses of radiation because they dug trenches in the exclusion zone around the plant. Vlad.
Holly Williams reporting from inside Ukraine. Holly, thank you. Stay safe. Sunday on Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan will interview Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Looking forward to that. While most of America is lifting COVID restrictions, one of the world's biggest cities has been shut down. Shanghai, home to about 25 million people, is largely at a standstill today as China battles its worst wave of COVID infections since the start of this global pandemic in 2020. Lucy Kraft explains how this lockdown has raised questions about China's so-called zero COVID strategy.
Shanghai's lockdown was supposed to last just a few days, rolled out in stages to minimize disruption. But that plan has been abandoned. And now most of Shanghai, China's largest and wealthiest city, has been shut down, with no telling when life could get back to normal.
Shanghai's modern streets have been transformed into a post-apocalyptic landscape. Residents have been barricaded into their homes, allowed out only for COVID testing. Even infants are being screened. Residents aren't allowed to walk their dogs. The only canines permitted on city streets are robots broadcasting anti-infection tips. Frustration is so widespread over panic buying and persistent food shortages, it inspired a rap song. American Sean Rhine lives in Shanghai.
Is there any sense at all that this is overkill, that the zero COVID strategy maybe has worn out its usefulness, that there should be a more flexible approach?
I think there are a lot of people in Shanghai who are saying, you know, right now the medicine is worse than the disease. We have people who are dying because they can't get access to medical care. How many people have actually died from this recent surge of COVID? And the government has told us zero.
It's unclear how long Shanghai's mass lockdown will last. Residents are bracing for possibly weeks of home confinement. But despite the strain on residents, China vows it will maintain its zero COVID policy. Lucy Kraft, CBS Mornings, Tokyo.
Back in this country and to Florida for a pair of stories, a group of LGBTQ advocates has sued the state and the governor, Ron DeSantis, over a controversial bill he signed into law last week. The bill, you've heard about it, it forbids public schools It's a vaguely worded bill from teaching about gender identity and sexual orientation from kindergarten through third grade. This is the bill that critics call the Don't Say Gay Law, while supporters say it's simply meant to protect young children and their parents. The lawsuit is calling it, quote, an unlawful attempt to stigmatize, silence, and erase LGBTQ people in Florida's public schools. Meanwhile, story two, a federal judge has struck down parts of a sweeping voting law approved in Florida last year. The judge says these new rules, which cover registration and mail-in voting, were enacted, another quote here, with the intent to discriminate against black voters. The governor says he'll appeal.
Police in Greenville, South Carolina, are investigating a deadly middle school shooting that left one 12-year-old boy dead and another facing a murder charge. Investigators say the boys knew each other, but it's unclear what led to the shooting or how the one boy got the gun. No other students were hurt. The alleged shooter was taken to a juvenile prison.
Spring storms have been cutting a path of destruction across much of the country. The deadly storm system that tore through the South earlier this week moved across the East Coast overnight. Two people were killed and two others were hurt when a tornado touched down in the Florida Panhandle. Across a dozen states, there were more than two dozen reports of tornadoes. Not good. Let's bring in meteorologist Stephanie Abrams. She's with our partners at the Weather Channel to talk about what we can expect next. Stephanie, oh boy, this is April Fool's Day, but this is no joke. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It is no joke. And as we head into April and May, that's when our severe weather really ramps up. This, of course, coming on the heels of an active March. We can show you our severe weather reports. And a third of the month was above or well above average. And I'm talking winds 58 miles per hour or greater, hail an inch and more in diameter, or tornadoes. And those tornadoes have been running above average. Our annual average is 214 up into this point of the year. We have 279 reported tornadoes. And you see that real jump up here into March. For April, the area expands where we could see severe weather. The southern plains, the Midwest, down to the Gulf Coast. And sadly, some of these areas are the spots that we could see severe weather as we head into next week. Monday into Texas, then back again, sadly, here Tuesday into Louisiana and Mississippi, and then Alabama and Georgia for our Wednesday. But it's not just winds, hail, tornadoes. We have to worry about rain, too. Look at this. We have risk for some very heavy rainfall in places that don't need it, like Birmingham, Alabama, where in March we had nearly double our monthly average of rainfall in Birmingham, and we're going to get more again. The good news is this weekend, we will see the sunshine. So at least we get a nice weekend. But as we head into next week, you can see on our Tuesday, very heavy rainfall, and that's going to be lasting as we head into our Thursday, or Wednesday, I should say, as well. But hey, at least the temperatures are warming up, so that's good. Gail, of course, we'll have more on next week's storm threat live on the Weather Channel Television Network.
I say you never go wrong with warm temperatures, and I see you got the red memo, Stephanie. You look lovely. Thank you so much.
All right, to a big weekend in basketball. We got you covered. The NCAA Women's Final Four tips off tonight in Minneapolis with four powerhouse programs battling it out for a shot at the title. Game number one, top seeds Louisville and South Carolina will play, and then last year's champion Stanford will take on UConn. UConn, a historical powerhouse, hoping to secure its record 12th national title. Meanwhile, to the men's games, Final Four begins tomorrow night in New Orleans. Villanova aiming for its third title in just 7 years. But first, the Wildcats must get past the top-seeded Kansas team. And then the other big game, arch rivals Duke and North Carolina will play for the first time ever in the Final Four in what could be Duke coach Krzyzewski's, I should have just said Coach K.
That's how
I told myself I was going to. This is Coach K's record 13th Final Four appearance in his 42 years as coach of the Blue Devils. A championship win would be number six for him. That is the second most for coach in men's NCAA history. And this is the 100th time overall the two teams have met. The record, 50 wins for Duke, 49 for UNC.
And I know you're so excited because you want Coach K to have that fairy tale ending. So aren't
we all do.
Aren't we all rooting for Coach K and Connecticut?
You know, I'll
go first. Yeah. yes, we are.
Don't wait for the answer. We know what the answer is.
Ask and answer your own question. What were you going to say,
Tony? You're in the tank for Duke. I don't have any college-age children yet, so I'm not rooting for anyone in particular.
Yeah, me neither. I'm I'm rooting with you, Gail.
Yes,
so I'm going to root for
you. I'm hoping this comes true.
Yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.